Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Well, one of our highlights of the week, usually on Tuesday, is sitting down with our independent bookseller of the week to discuss some great reads. Well, today we have more important work to do because we're going to do just that, but we're also going to give you last-minute ideas for the holidays, for gift-giving, and we do so today, because tomorrow will be preempted because we have a holiday special that we'll be doing, so that'll be fun. So it worked out because I think about 6 months ago, Amy said to me, "Oh, look, I'm on Christmas Eve. Can we move that?" Knowing that it would be a very, very busy day and probably not the best time. So today makes a lot more sense. So here we are. Amy Lane of the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery is with us, and she has some terrific reads and some terrific ideas for gift giving for this time of year. Hello, how are you? It's a delight to see you as always.
Hello, it's a delight to be here, and I am doing well. Thank you.
Excellent. Where would you like to begin?
Well, let's start at the top of the list with The Goldfinch, which has been a wildly popular book this entire season by Donna Tartt, who is a writer of weight, I think, for sure, and
yes.
Someone who really only produces novels every few years or so.
Like every decade.
Yeah, it kind of does feel that way.
Yeah.
But whenever they come out, man, they're something to behold, and so is apparently this one. So tell me what you thought about this, because you have a lot more to say.
I put this on a request
yeah.
to talk about today because this is hands down my book of the year. I think it's the best novel that I've read all year.
That's great.
However, I would go, and I was saying this to Amy just before we went on, that I hesitate only I'm still in the afterglow. Mm-hmm. I finished it last week, and this book, I believe, is one of the greatest American novels ever written
and
that I have read.
I think that's great, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think enjoy the afterglow for as long as you can, right?
Because I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe it'll work on me, or maybe something will happen to the point where I'm not as engaged into it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I feel very just. This is a novel that says something. It has such meaning. It has such depth to it. It's a brick of a book. I mean, it's
oh yeah,
it's 800 pages.
It's massive.
It's massive, and you do become completely involved.
And I'm sorry to point this out, but just from my own retail perspective, this book right now is out of stock at the publisher. Our distributors are out of it. This book hit some high demand, and yeah, so get it while you can. If you can find a copy, snatch it up now.
Real quick, it's a book about a young man who is with his mother, and they are in a museum in New York when a horrible terrorist attack hits.
Mm-hmm.
And while that is not the point of the book as much as why he and his mother were there, to really pay respects to this painting that meant so much to his
mm-hmm.
mother. And then during the melee, he takes the painting. And then keeps it, and it's his one link to his mother, and it's a book about grief, and about hope, and about despair.
Wow!
And I just want to read one section of this, and I know, by the way, I know I'm reading this the day before Christmas, or 2 days before Christmas, but my point is that the sorrow that this person I have never read about the depths of grief. And I just want to read this to you.
Okay.
Depression wasn't the word. This was a plunge encompassing sorrow and revulsion far beyond the personal. A sick, drenching nausea at all humanity and human endeavor from the dawn of time. The writhing loathsomeness of the biological order, old age, sickness, death. No escape for anyone. Even the beautiful ones were like soft fruit about to spoil. And yet somehow people still kept breeding and popping out new fodder for the grave, producing more and more new beings to suffer like this with some kind of redemptive or good or even somehow morally admirable thing, dragging more innocent creatures into the lose-lose game, squirming babies and plotting complacent hormone-drugged moms. Oh, isn't she cute? Aw. Kids shouting and skidding in the playground with no idea what future hells awaited them. Boring jobs and ruinous mortgages and bad marriages and hair loss and hip replacements and lonely cups of coffee in an empty house and a colostomy bag at the hospital. Most people seem satisfied with the thin decorative glaze and the artful stage lighting that sometimes made the bedrock atrocity of the human predicament look somewhat more mysterious or less abhorrent. People gambled and golfed and planted gardens and traded stocks and had sex and bought new cars and practiced yoga and worked and prayed and redecorated their homes and got worked up over the news and fussed over their children and gossiped about their neighbors and pored over restaurant reviews and founded charitable organizations and supported political candidates and attended the U.S. Open and dined and traveled and distracted themselves with all kinds of gadgets and devices, flooding themselves incessantly with information and text and communication and entertainment from every direction to try to make themselves forget it, where we were, what we were.
Wow.
And I'm thinking anyone who can write that and be able to put you into that character's head is stunning to me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing. And the book is not always that much of a downer, I must say. And it has such beautiful things to say, and it's worth every page. So that's my...
I don't think you're alone, because pretty much every review that I've read of this states the same idea, that it really does hit you in your core.
It's stunning. It's The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt, and and the painting itself is now at the Frick Collection.
Really?
Yes. It's the painting is at the Frick Collection.
I
think
not
until
know
mid-January or maybe February. But
excellent.
So there's also that connection where you can actually see the art, which is so a part of the book. So anyway, if you're looking for it, I know you. So now we've got you all worked up, and you probably can't find it. But it's,
but you know what? Come the new year, there'll be more copies. So put this on your list of things for the future, if not today.
Give a gift certificate.
That's right.
And for that book, and
it'll
be there. And this weekend, I did see it in some places and not in others.
Yep.
And it was some
it's possible
of our independent friends have it, and so I know it's there some places. But anyway. So The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. Next is another book that I also loved and adored.
Which one was that?
Russell Shorto's
Amsterdam. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. A History of the World's Most Liberal City. And, of course, I picked this because his last one, The Island at the Center of the World, was just a delight. And I think this is, not as close to home, obviously. He's wonderful in his telling this history of Amsterdam and Holland. I don't have much more to say about this because I kind of want to move on to a few other things.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So check out Amsterdam by Russell Shorto, particularly for those who really loved and enjoyed The Island at the Center of the World. Then the next one I had, I believe, was American Mirror, The Life and Art of Norman Rockwell by Deborah Solomon. So this is a lovely new biography of our beloved American painter and artist, Norman Rockwell. So check that out. It got a great write-up by Garrison Keillor in the Times Book Review.
Yeah, and then it's been the subject of a great deal of controversy within the family, and certainly that we have covered on this show in to great extent, and like all things, I think it's important to read to be
informed
mm-hmm. about what the controversy is about, and certainly the things that are mentioned do not take away some of the more interesting aspects of the man's work and his life the impact of his art.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So it's something worth checking out, I think. Okay, the next two things that I really want to talk about today are both on graphic design to an extent. One is the Best American Infographics 2013. This is part of that whole series of the Best American Short Stories, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this is the first time I've seen this infographic.
I was going to ask you, this is the first year they've done this,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. And it's amazing. So I'm going to let you look through that while I talk briefly about it. But I love the idea of infographics in that it imparts information, statistics, and all sorts of wonderful ideas in a very visual concept, but they're done in such a way that it has to be presented within certain parameters because it's going into a magazine or a newspaper and it has only so much space within those places. So it's not like a piece of art that one can simply create on a canvas and make as big or large as small and as they want. So it's really wonderful. And the choices that they've made for this particular best of, they're great. They're fascinating. And they run the whole gamut. I mean, you can find information about, there was one in there about the cheetah, right? And how a cheetah is anatomically designed to be very fast. But then there's also this beautiful map of New York after, and New Jersey in the shoreline after Sandy, right? So there's all sorts of amazing information that you can find in and it's presented in these bite-sized little nuggets, and I love that.
American education gets a grade, what we're buying now, how we spend, and what were the gayest and straightest Super Bowl halftime shows. So it's a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, but it's great. And if you've got anybody who's an artist, think about this for them. It's wonderful.
Infographics with an introduction by David Byrne, edited by Gareth Cook.
Yes. And then the other graphic book that I have is actually called Go by Chip Kidd, A Kid's Guide to Graphic Design. And it is geared to be a bit of a how-to for kids. But it's a really wonderful book to introduce kids as to the practicality of art and drawing and layout and all of this. So he explains why negative space is important and what you can do with it, and or why a font, why you would choose a particular font to impart your information on a sign or whatnot. And you know, you could find something that's very elegant if that's the what you're after, but it might not necessarily be the type of thing that you're going to be able to read very well. So it's really brilliantly practical explanation and exploration of this type of visual art form. And I love that book. So Go by Chip Kidd. Please, please give this to children everywhere. I love it.
It's a beautiful book.
It's fascinating.
It's a wonderful introduction to the subject. My only question about, we had him on the show.
Yeah.
My only question is I don't know, like, it doesn't, I don't know how many kids are going to get it.
I think it's really good for adults too.
Well, that's
dare
what I
mean.
Say. Well, no, I think it's yeah. the whole point of being an introduction to the subject. I think for anyone who wants maybe next year to get the infographic
yeah.
book and to the and best of and completely
why.
Understand it, that this is a beautiful yep. Beginner's guide. Like, I would use this as a textbook.
Yeah.
And school.
Absolutely.
As to graphic design for art class.
I think so too. The last two that I have, one is A Simpler Way of Life, and I don't know if you've seen this. It's called Old Farmhouses of New York and New England. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous picture book of old farmhouses of New York and New England. It says it all. But the photography, which is done by Trevor Tondro, is glorious. And it really does capture that feel of these farmhouses that, you know, people still live in. And it's that... It's rustic, it's nostalgic,
yeah, it's
homey, it's exactly what you would expect from a farmhouse. And I love these kinds of things because that to me is, right, that's where I want to go. I want to sit in that room next to the fireplace and all that wood.
Yes, because the rest of the rooms look really cold.
Yes, they do. But they're lovely nonetheless.
They're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Maybe
and
more so in July than in
Again, that's
in
a gorgeous gift book to give to those who are into that sort of farmhousing. The last one that I have is the Wes Anderson collection, and this is a phenomenal retrospective of Wes Anderson and his films and how he comes up with his ideas and how he presents them. And it's the first time that this has happened with his particular works. And I love his films, right? I have to tell you, I think The Royal Tenenbaums is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Good stuff.
It really is. And nobody does what he does, and nobody creates that nostalgic melancholy feel that he really is so exquisite at creating.
It is the Wes Anderson collection. For more information on Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady and the great work they can do, you can go to their website, which is opendoor-bookstore.com. You can go to our website, too. We have all the information, Amy's list, and a link to their site, which is at wamc.org/roundtable. Better yet, go visit them. They're on
Please.
J Street in Schenectady. They'll get you all set up for the holidays. Amy, it is a delight to have you here. As always, I wish you a beautiful holiday season, and I thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thanks. Thanks
always
for having
good
me.
Good to see you. Gary.